Rock of ages, cleft for me. A hymn reminding us that God is our rock and salvation, played today on the chimes, is the first piece of music heard today. Following is the prelude, a piano setting of Will You Come and Follow Me by Charles Callahan. This tune appears in the service again as the anthem, presented by the Chancel Choir and an arrangement by Michael Burkhart, the same individual that arranged the music in the December Artist Series concert. The text of the anthem can be found in the same document containing the text for today's hymns. Be sure to view the video version of the anthem on our Facebook pages. Remaining in the theme of being called to follow Christ is the sermon hymn, You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore. Finally, the opening hymn and postlude, For the Healing of the Nations, reminds us of today's reading from Jonah. The postlude, an organ setting by renowned organist and hymn leader Paul Montz, states the tune in a grand and majestic way, reminiscent of the hymn tune's namesake, Westminster Abbey.
Thank you. As we prepare to enter into this time of worship, let me remind you that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Let me invite you now to join me in taking a deep, slow breath, a breath that will enable us to shift our gears, to be very aware of God's presence in our midst wherever we may be. Breathe in that comforting, strengthening presence. Hold on to it. As you breathe out that which is disruptive, distracting, disturbing, allow God to come close as we enter into worship and reflect on our theme for today, which is Follow Me. Many who watched the inauguration of our nation's 46th president this past week were deeply moved by the words of Amanda Gorman, the first National Youth Poet Laureate, and at age 22, the youngest poet ever to speak at a president's inauguration. While her poem, The Hill We Climb, focuses on what it means to be an American, embracing the democracy for which we stand, and for which our forebears fought with every ounce of their being, as I read and reread her words, powerful, beautifully crafted words, I was struck by how well many of them also describe what Christ and following Christ looks like. Among her words are these: we lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. We seek harm to none and harmony for all. Victory won't lie in the blade, but in all the bridges we've made. One thing is certain: if we merge mercy with might and might with right, then love becomes our legacy and change our children's birthright. The new dawn balloons as we free it, for there is always light if we're brave enough to see it, if only we're brave enough to be it. Following Christ is and always will be an uphill climb, but it is so worth it. Seeking strength and grace beyond our own to engage in this important work together, we enter now into worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
As we enter into this time of confession, I invite you to join with me in praying our prayer of confession. The words may be accessed on our Facebook page and website. If you do not have that within reach, join us in a spirit of prayer. Let us pray. God of grace and God of glory, when your son Jesus called his first disciples, he made it quite clear that following him would not be a walk in the park. Sacrifices would have to be made and a price would need to be paid. This is still true today for those desiring to follow the one worth following. There are no shortcuts, no special exceptions made for some but not others. Forgive us, loving God, for our reluctance to accept the cost of discipleship along with the joy, and for abandoning ship at the first sign of rough water. Grant us courage and resolve beyond our own, so that we might have what it takes to keep on keeping on, our focus on you and our commitment unwavering. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When we confess our sins, God's promise is sure. God wipes the slate clean. God forgives us. God gives us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, every time we cry out and acknowledge our wrong. May we claim this gift. May we allow it to change our very lives. May we allow it to empower us to reach out to others with a similar spirit of forgiveness. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today is from the book of Jonah, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 10. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And our gospel reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 14 through 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. As always, I have a special message for our children and, of course, our young at heart. Has anyone ever asked you what you want to be when you grow up? I bet they have. Lots of times, parents or grandparents or teachers or friends, pay attention to special gifts that you have and think of all the wonderful things you could do to put those gifts to good use. Or maybe you've taken an interest in a particular job that you see people doing, and think to yourself, "I could do that." Maybe you have a role model who inspires you with the work that they do. Thinking of what we want to do, who we want to be when we grow up, can be kind of overwhelming. There are so many different things we can become, so many different jobs we can choose to do. But it's important that you know that the most important work we do as people of faith is not just work we will do when we're finally all grown up, but it's work God calls us to even as kids. Because the truth is, no matter what job you pick, no matter how old you are, you already are what you will always be. You are a child of God. And no matter where or when or what you will eventually do for a job, your work will always be to tell the story of Christ and to share the love of God. In our Bible story today, Jesus invites some fishermen named Simon, Andrew, James, and John to drop their nets and join him as his disciples. These men, although Jesus just spotted them as he was walking along the beach at the Sea of Galilee, would become his dearest friends, his followers, the ones who he taught and learned beside, and the ones who would help him share the good news of God's love far and wide. Since they were fishermen, I think Jesus wanted to speak their language so that they understood what he was calling them to do. So he challenged them to be fishers of people. That sounds a little funny, doesn't it? Fishing for people, can you imagine? But it seems Jesus was just using that as a symbol, because he calls them to go beyond their job as fishermen with nets and boats who catch fish to feed people's stomachs, and teaches them how to be disciples who gather people in and feed their hearts and souls. Now, of course, we still need people who fish. We need people who farm and bank and teach and care for old and young. We still need doctors and singers and shop workers and plumbers. And I pray that you will grow up and have a job that will excite you and will allow you to use your many unique gifts in really important and wonderful ways to help others. But what Jesus shows us is that no matter what our day job is, our life work is to share God's love. Whether you are a librarian sharing God's love, a nurse sharing God's love, an electrician sharing God's love, a veterinarian sharing God's love, a chef, a social worker, a business owner, a mom, or a dad, you've got really important work to do. And remember how I said that it didn't matter how old you are? You already have work to do, because as a child sharing God's love, you help keep the rest of us laughing and playing and learning and growing. In our Bible story, Jesus calls everyday folks to be part of his crew, his church, his ministry, his work, to show that anyone and everyone can do God's work of loving and serving others. And Jesus is still calling disciples every day, calling us as children of God. There is still work to do to share God's love in the world, and God gives us all the gifts and tools that we will need to do that work in our own unique way. You are already doing an amazing job, doing the most important job, being who God made you to be, and allowing God to speak, act, and work through you. Let's take time now to pray, and then we will end in praying our Lord's Prayer together. Loving God, your Son Jesus called ordinary people like Simon and Andrew and James and John to follow him and to be his disciples. They weren't perfect, they didn't have a degree in discipleship, and they definitely didn't know what they were getting into. But they had willing and open hearts and were filled with God's love and purpose. Help us to be filled with that same love and purpose, and to have those same kinds of open and willing hearts, that we too might hear your call and follow you, no matter where it takes us. May we share God's love in all that we do. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.